Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, misty eye of the mountain below. Keep careful watch of my brother's souls. And should the sky be filled with fire and smoke, keep watching over children's sons. If this is to end in fire, then we shall all burn together. Watch the flames climb high to the night, calling out, Father, oh, stand by and we will watch the flames burn all along the mountainside. High. And if we should die tonight, we should all die together, raise a glass. The flames burn up and on the mountainside. Desolation comes upon the sky. Now I see fire inside the mountain. I see fire burning the trees. And I see
Father, in Jesus' name, lift up our voices. We pray and praise you for another opportunity that we have to worship your name, to dwell with your spirit. We praise you, God, for sending your Son to the cross, for revealing Jesus to our lives, for bringing peace in a world there is no peace. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for your lambs. I pray for our family, that all of our brothers and sisters, that you pretend to receive this blessing. May the enemy not come over them to stop them from receiving this blessing. Help us to share what you have gave us for free, and let your people grow in strength, in wisdom, in power of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, and let Jesus reign over all of us. Father, I pray for all the families in America that are afraid of these days, that you reveal your Son, that you reveal your strength to these strongholds of the enemy, and let the enemy be defeated by your anointing, by your holy angels. Father, I dedicate this program to all the families that had lost family members, people of their own wars, to free others like Hugh. And I pray that you can recompense the pain with your glory, Father. Let all your American children be free from all the deceptions that we are going to expose here. And we praise you because we know that you'll be doing much more than we ask. For the glory, in the name of Jesus, we pray and praise you in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Brothers and sisters, thank you again for your kind presence. I want to warn you that this program, it's not a normal program. It is something that God has provided to us here because we are worried with the future of America, because we are grateful for you, our brothers there that had in your story of your country so much traumas like wars, where you were sent to fight and to free another peoples, another countries, from the same guys that are now trying to imprison you, the same entities. I want to warn you that this will be a lot of food that I will bring here, and I hope that I am able to provide you with wisdom, because I don't know if I will be able to do it in all one show. I hope I can. But I am just warning that after this show, your eyes will be much more open for the spiritual kingdom, for the invisible war that is raging on the world, and especially on the front line called America, United States of America. We have heard a lot about the New World Order. We have heard a lot about the Illuminati. But what we are going to try to do tonight here is to provide you the connections with the past, the ancient past, and the facts of the present age that will prove to you that it's the destiny of America, and maybe of the whole planet. Once again, are in your hands the American believers, the true worshipers, that only you can save your country from this shadow reptile government of black entities called fallen angels that are trying to end the plan of enslaving all humanity in an age of darkness that will only end with the mercy and the second coming of the Jewish Messiah called Yahushua Jesus Christ. It's in your hands, brothers, to free yourselves from the great deception that is upon you, because if your country falls on this darkness, there is no more obstacles to this reptile called Illuminati, called elite that serves Satan, the first fallen being, first Nephilim, that decide to go against the order that God, the Almighty God, provides to all His creation. So I want you to provide a good ambient, a good mood. So we will hear one or two songs before we go deep on this subject called Babel. Babel, the last and the ultimate challenge of America. And we will disclose this title later on the show. But keep in mind that Babel means confusion, but also in the original Babylonic language, it means the portal of God. So, as you can see, if you join the two translations, you get the confusion of the portal of God. So only on the title you see there is a lot to talk about, but we will go slowly in this rabbit hole, and I hope that at the end you can say, thank you, Jesus, for letting me hear this show. So brothers and sisters, stay cool. Just pray for the show, for the enemy cannot use nothing against him, and let's rejoice in the spirit of our Father, Lord, Savior, Yahushua, Jesus, the Christ. I'll be right back.
Bethlehem looks like another silent night. Above your deep and dreamless sleep, a giant star lights up the sky. And while you're lying in the dark, there shines an everlasting light. For the King has left His throne and is sleeping in a manger tonight. Oh Bethlehem, what you have missed while you were sleeping, where God became a man, stepped into your world today. Oh, Bethlehem, you will go down in history as a city with no room for its king. While you were sleeping, while you were sleeping, little town of Jerusalem, looks like another side of night. The Father gave his only Son, the way, the truth, the life had come, but there was no room for him in the world he came to save. Jerusalem, what you had missed while you were sleeping, Jerusalem, you will go down in history as a city with no room for its king. While you were sleeping, while you were sleeping, United States of America looks like another silent night. As we're sung to sleep by philosophies that save the trees and kill the children, and while we're lying in the dark, there's a shout across the eastern sky. States of America looks like another silent night.
The shame of scandal came the Savior. Ladies and gentlemen,
the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
I am passing this audio again, as I hope that the words of your former president, brothers, can empower each one of you for the tasks that you have on your hands now, the responsibilities that God is willing to give you on his kingdom, on this present age. And the part that it's up to you to do, no one will make it. Only when you accept and remain faithful to the purpose of God in your life, the goals will be reached, the objectives will be fulfilled. And in accepting this task and remaining faithful to the Lord, even if it costs your life, may be the salvation of other lives, of your family, of your sons, of your fathers. This President John Fitzgerald Kennedy sacrifices himself to tell you the truth, to warn you of the things that were happening on his time and that are now happening in front of your eyes, in your land, in our world. I have a heaviness in my heart when I hear this audio. All the time I hear this audio, because it seems that you Americans still don't understand the power that this president was giving to you to stop this infiltration, this dark infiltration on your way of life, on your everything that you deserve, and you fight and you try to expand to other countries. You all can say that you were a nation constructed by masons. In fact, it's true. But that doesn't mean that in your story, a lot of great Christian had provided you the tools to take the destiny of your country in your hands. it happened. But it seems that the spells of Babel are stronger these days than in the days that America was born. I will start this show to give you some background about the history of Babylon, some things that you may don't even know because nobody had the purpose to teach you, to show you about Babylon, about Nimrod. We all know a little thing, little bit about Nimrod, about what is in the book of Genesis. I think it's in chapter 11, if I'm not mistaken, about how he became a mighty hunter, a Nephilim, right? There's a lot of researchers that talk now about this. But not all go deep as God wants now for us to go, because there is a lot of details about Nimrod, who also in history is recorded as Hammurabi, the Babylonian king who is responsible for the code of Hammurabi. We will be talking about this, the first written laws, codex laws, to all the history of humanity, even preceding the laws of Moses. This Hammurabi or Nimrod is the first great king of the first empire, Babylonic Empire, in Mesopotamia. The Mesopotamia was located on a region between two rivers, the river Tigris and Euphrates. That's where come his name. Mesopotamia means literally between rivers. His territory, as you know, on this present day, it's Iraq. It was in this region that appearing the first urban civilization. In the beginning of the fourth millennium before Christ, various groups, ethnic groups, were occupying that area. It was a group of people, groups of shepherds living in the wilderness, even some fishermen and farmers of the swamps. They were all around there. Mountains, looking for raw materials that did not exist on the south region. There was not a Babylonic nation there. There were a group of groups that were living there. In 3700 before Christ, around that, Babylon arrived, not as an empire already, but as a small urban setting along the western banks of the river Euphrates. In the third millennium before Christ, Babylon was still a small town. This small history I put here is confirmed the Bible about how Nimrod starts becoming growing in the eyes of the Lord. Nimrod, as you know, was the son of Cush, who by himself was the son of Ham, the son of Noah that was cursed. Noah had three sons, Shem, Japheth, and Ham. And Nimrod was coming from that generation. In fact, Noah had launched a curse upon the son of Ham, Cainan. In fact, that curse made him, according to the historians, to find a lost stone record of the fallen angelic teachings that had made God produce the flood. This is not in the Bible, but is on other books that the Jewish primitive believers took as historical books that represent true stories of the humanity, like the book of Jasher. So lots of people ask, how did the giants have survived the flood? How did the giants appear again? It's because, amongst other possible answers, it's because the same mistakes start happening again through this cursed generation. And this man, Ham, he produced the generation of Nimrod, comes from Cush. And this Nimrod was walking on the ways of the Lord until he started becoming powerful. He started conquering and established a lot of cities. And the first one, the biggest one, was in the plain of Shinar, where later he will decide to build the famous Tower of Babel. I want you to keep in mind that Nimrod, is also called Hammurabi, he only appears in 1792 before Christ, not in the beginning of the people called Babylon. He appears 1,000 years later, and he starts uniting people of shepherds and fishermen and farmers, and he has success because God is with him and he walks in the ways of the Lord. He takes control of Sumerians, Akkadians, Amorites, Canaanites, Assyrians, of the mountains and the desert tribes. He was so successful that they called him the king of the four parts of the world. He accepted the title of the son of Babel to himself. He has unified the people under the command of all aspects. And I want you to keep this in mind, because it's important for when we will talk about America in the present day. What did Hammurabi, or Nimrod if you want, what did he make to conquer all the land under his feet? start appointing governors in each province according to the dialects among his own people. He start appointing his predilects over all the groups and made him pay a tribute to him. All property belonged to the king, and the king gives them the land and they pay them tribute. He appointed, in other words, fiefdoms for his own aristocracy, and in which payment he provided protection. He trained the soldiers for the army of the fiefdom, so that soldiers, when they were going to fight the enemies, which in fact start being the other sons of Noah, he reward them with the lands of the conquered countries or regions, which guarantee to him their loyalties and honor. And he also collect taxes or tributes from the temples of their countries and the farms of that countries that were being conquered, of all the population. So he was receiving a tribute from everybody he was favoring. So he was able to unify even on the religious plane. And we'll be talking deep on this, because this is very, very important for you to understand the role of the New World Order on these days. Babylon was a vast country, was a vast territory, and there was a lot of gods there. Each land had his own deity. Each deity has his own temples. But Nimrod was able to unify them also in one religion. He defined the deities not by force, but by organizing the thousands of Semitic and Sumerian gods, which occasionally would confront each other on their histories. But many of them were the same and appeared under different names and titles and different places. But as you will see, they all speak one language. All the small differences were being erased under the guidance and the wisdom of this king. He also defined a code of law called the Code of Hammurabi, the first codex of laws written, that produced a kind of moral, try to be fair, to resolve the questions and try to be able to live in cities. So that there was a group of laws on this code that tried to organize the cities. Codes about marriage, codes about stealing. And this was based on a retribution, where comes the eye for an eye, teeth for a teeth. It He said that he received his wisdom from the god of Babylon, sun god. It was also known as Marduk. And if we have time, you will see this Marduk. It's the same deity that the Romans called Mitra. It was brought first from the Babylonian Empire to the Persian Empire, later to Alexander from the Greeks, and later to Roman. It is also the same deity that the New Agers of this day call Maitreya, Maitre, Maitreya Marduk. But this is another story. Let me continue to talk about this guy. So this cult appears in Babylon in the days of Abraham. The father of Abraham, according to the book of Jasher, was one of the aristocrats of Nimrod. He was living in Ur of the Chaldeans. So, as you can see, this is all related to the Bible. Terah was one of the officers of Nimrod. The laws he produced was successful to making able the living of thousands of persons on the cities they were building. It was based on, as I said, on the laws of retribution. These laws were ruling the entire life of the community. Divisions of social class, trade, interests, marriage, inheritance, and all aspects. Under the command of Nimrod, it's also named Hammurabi, Babylon started coming not only a small town, but an empire. Start growing and expanding their influence until reaching other countries behind the Mesopotamia, like Egypt, which start paying tributes to Nimrod. Different city-states start coming components of this empire. And Nimrod found Babel. Babel was the capital of this strong Babylonian empire that raised on these days, in the days of Abram. Babel became extremely rich and powerful with a great strength in military and cultural and economic aspects, was a center of that ancient world in the times of Abram. Becomes the first mighty empire of the history after the flood. When Hammurabi comes out of the scene, Babylon is still in the Golden Age, when this Nimrod became killed by the son of Isaac, Esau, the brother of Jacob. That's where comes the great, the famous trick that Jacob used to steal the birthright of his brother. He was not coming only from a hunting, if you read the book of Jasher, you will understand that he had killed the Barack Obama of that day. So he was believing that he was going to be killed. That's why he accepted that proposal, but that we know that this was coming from the Lord. This is a small introduction for everything I have to tell you, and you better believe that it's very, very, very stuff. There's a lot of background for you to reach the mystery about Babylon that the Bible speaks about. I hope that after this show, you will understand your role in this mystifying this mystery in the eyes of those that are being enslaved by this confusion called Babel, the New World Order. Let's go on. In the aspect of the religion, this empire, as I said before, was formed by a lot of gods. They didn't only have one god, they had gods for everything. But basically the highest god was Marduk, which is another name for Mitra, Maitreya. Mihir in the Nordic theology. In Babylonic theological vision, the sky was the highest stratum of the universe. It directly associates with that sphere. As a result, many of their gods were represented by stars or planets. In fact, this was coming from the ancient paganism, where the fallen angels want to be worshipped. So they promoted global worshipping to the ancestors. In fact, the first persons who start worshipping the ancestors were the Sumerians. And guess what? They were worshipping the Lady of Life, which had another name called the name Lady of the Reed, that was nothing more or less than Eve, Adam and Eve, their ancestors. That's where comes the ancient cult to the ancestors. In these days on the Babylonian Empire, and through the teachings that Nimrod have brought from Canaan, it was believed that each person, when they died, they were ascending to God, and each star on the sky was a person, was a God. So the supernatural universe was populated by divine beings, gods and demons and spirits, portrayed by human thought. In fact, they believe that the stars carry our virtues and faults here. These gods in turn need to be fed, because with the anthropomorphized, the gods possess human needs. They could be also joyful, sad, aggressive, ambitious, vengeful, merciful. That's why they had a lot of gods. They had gods for everything, for the storms, for the agriculture, for love. This religion was profoundly polytheistic, lots of gods. And as we have seen before, each state, they had their own pantheons. That's why you read in the book of Jasher that Abram confronts his own father because he had a lot of idols. Through this worshiping, it was a kind of pleasing everybody. So it was not because of religion that the group or the empire should be separated. So because they had a so humanized God, they thought that the gods need a resting place where they decide to come down. Or when they call someone to go to them, they had also prepared a resting place for us, for the humans that were ascending to gods. This, of course, was the deception of the fallen angel. And that, in this background, they start producing the ziggurats, or the pyramids, which in fact were nothing more than high places for the gods descend to dwell amongst the humans, the mortals. The ziggurats were massive constructions made of raw bricks in pyramid shape. In the top of the ziggurats used to be built a small temple with an image of the god of that city, where were offered sacrifice to that god by the priest. And the famous ziggurat was, of course, the tower, what the Bible called the Tower of Babel. And the Tower of Babel was nothing more than a sacrificial place of human sacrifices to please gods. Because when Nimrod starts becoming praised above all the earth, the pride was installed in his heart. And he pleased the ambitions of their followers, because once they have conquered all the countries around, the only thing they could require more for them was turning to God. That's why they built the ziggurat, the Tower of Babel, to become gods, to reach the high summit of the heavens to go fight the god that was the last part was missing to their egos. They want to become gods because they believe that the men were gods. And God created man, that was the teachings of the fallen angels, that's where comes all the cabal. God diminishes and disappears parts of God each time he creates a man. So they believe they were God in ascension. But for that they had to reach the sky, the heavens, through ritual to go fight and conquer heavens. That was the last challenge for that empire. So, as you can see, there is a pattern here. There is a form here in thought. This was not the original thing. This was inspired by the reading of the stone that was found by Cain on the earlier world before the flood. And there is a writing called the Tablets of Thoth that was found in Egypt that testify about this that we are talking here. All this religious system was a rewind of what was happening in the world before the flood. How the fallen angels, that the book of Enoch says they teach every evil to the man, how to make wars, astrology, the magics. I will quote the tablet number 8 from the Tablets of Thoth, which in fact, it is a teaching, it is a writing produced by the fallen beings. How, when we read this, we can see, connect lots of dots for what is happening in our world today. How they enslave humanity on that times, on deception, and now they are still enslaving, empowering the blind ones, the secret society. So let me just read some passage here. I will provide you the links to all of this, but let me just give you some feedback what I am saying. In the tablet number 8, it's called the Key of Mystery. Please keep this in mind. Key of Mystery, Mystery Babylon. It says this: Unto thee, O man, have I given my knowledge. This supposedly is the God Thoth, the God of wisdom, passing his wisdom to the initiate ones. Into thee, O man, have I given my knowledge. Into thee have I given of light. Hear you now and receive my wisdom, brought from space plane above and behind. Not as a man I am, for free have I become of dimensions and planes. In each take I on a new body, in each I change in my form. Now I know that the formless is all there is of form. Great is the wisdom of the seven, mighty are they from behind. Manifest they taught their power, filled by force from behind. Hear you these words of wisdom, hear you and make them final. Find in then the formless. Mystery is but hidden knowledge. Know that you shall unveil. Find the deep buried wisdom and be master of darkness and light. Deep are the mysteries around it, hidden the secrets of old. Search through the keys of my wisdom, surely shall we find the way. The gateway to power is secret, but he who attends shall receive. Look to the light, O my brother. Open and you shall receive. Press on through the valley of darkness, overcome the dweller of night. Keep over thine eyes in the light plane, and you shall be one with the light. Man is in process of changing two forms that are not of this world. Grow he his time to the formless, a plane on the cycle above. Know you must become formless before you are with the light. Going to jump here. Now pay attention to what is said here. Speak I of ancient Atlantis. Speak of the days of the kingdom of shadows. Speak of the coming of the children of shadows. Out of the great deep were they called. By the wisdom of earth men, called for the purpose of gaining great power. Far in the past, before Atlantis existed, men there were who delved into darkness, using dark magic, calling up beings from the great deep below us, forthcoming they into this cycle. Formless were they of another vibration, existing and seen by the children of hurt men. Only through blood could they have formed beings. Only through men would they live in the world. In age past were they conquered by masters, driven below to the place whence they came. But some there were who remained, even in spaces and planes unknown to men. Lived they in Atlantis as shadows, but at times they appeared among men. When the blood was offered, for they came they to dwell among the men. In the form of men they amongst them, but only to sites where they as are men, serpent-headed, when the glamour was lifted, but appearing to men as men among men, crept they into the councils, taking form that were like unto men, slaying by their hearts the chiefs of the kingdom, taking their form on ruling over men. Only by magic could they be discovered. Only by sound could their faces be seen. Sought they from the kingdom of shadows to destroy man and rule in his place. But now you, the masters, were mighty in magic, able to lift the veil from the face of the serpent, able to send him back to his place. Come they to man and taught him in the secret, the word that only man can pronounce. Swift then they lift the veil from the serpent and cast him forth from the place among men. Yet beware, the serpent still lives in a place that is open at times to the world. Unseen they walk among thee, in places where the rites have been set. Again, as time passes homeward, shall they take the semblance of men. Seek not the kingdom of shadows, for hither will surely appear. For only the master of brightness shall conquer the shadow of fear. Know you, O my brother, that fear is an obstacle great. Be master of all in brightness. The shadow will soon disappear. Hear you and heed my wisdom. The voice of light is clear. Seek not the valley of shadow, and light will only appear. So this was the wisdom given by the fallen angels in the ancient world before the flood, where supposedly another empire had existed coincidentally to the Adam's generation, Adam's creation, and where these fallen beings controlled by Satan, the first Nephilim being, tried to infiltrate these empires and start controlling them through this secret wisdom that in fact is nothing but the alchemy of the soul, the false ascension to God is nothing but the old lie of the garden. You shall be like God. Your eyes will be open. And this was the instructions that Nimrod used to conquer. He was tired to be servant of God that gave them all the power. Doesn't this remember the story of Satan? It was not enough for him to be number two, the second before God. the secret spy of God. Do you see? So let's continue, because this is a long journey. But I think it's important now to rest a little. Let's hear some music to rest a little, because there's more to come. I hope that you are liking the show, and if you have some doubts, please write it on the chat room. I'll be right back.
Got a coin in the palm, I can make it disappear. I got a color up my sleeve, name it and I'll pull it out your ear. I got a rabbit in my hat, if you wanna come and see, this is what we'll be, this is what we'll be. I got shackles on my wrist, so my slipping had begun. Chain me in a box in the river, and I sing in the sun. Trust none of what you hear, and less of what you see. This is what we'll be. This is.
Called Magic by a great author, American author called Bruce Springsteen, one of the best composers that you have in your land. So let's go on, brothers, because this is big stuff. So what says the Book of Jasher about Nimrod? As you know, the Book of Jasher is referred in the Bible. It is an historical account that I doesn't only recommend that you believe 100%, because it may have been corrupt by the secret societies through time, and there's a lot of things there that contradicts the Bible, but the original ones, for sure, they were believed by the authors of the Bible, as it is referred there. So it says this, that in the 70th chapter of the Book of Jasher, it says this. I will read fast. I have put already the link. And Nimrod became strong when he put the garments, this was the garments of Adam, And God gave him might and strength, and he was mighty hunter in the herd. Yeah, he was mighty hunter in the field, and he hunted animals, and he built altars, and he offered upon the animals before the Lord. And he strengthened himself, and he rose up from amongst his brethren, and he fought the battles of his brethren against all the enemies round about. And the Lord delivered him from all the enemies and of his brethren in his hand, and God prospered him from time to time in the battles, and he reigned upon the earth. Therefore it became current on these days, when a man asked for those that he had trained up to the battle, he would say to them, like God did to Nimrod, who was a mighty hunter in the herd, and who succeeded in the battles that prevailed against his brethren, then he delivered them from the hands of their enemies. So may God strengthen us and deliver us in this day. And when Nimrod was 40 years old, at that time there was a war between his brethren and the children of Japheth, another son of Noah, so that they were in the power in their enemies. And Nimrod went forth at that time, and he assembled all the sons of Cush and their families, about 460 men, and they hired also from their friends about 80 men, and he gave them their hire, and they went with them to battle. And when he was on the road, Nimrod strengthened his hearts of the people that went with him, and he said to them, do not fear, neither be alarmed, for all our enemies will be delivered into our hands, and you may do it to them as you please. And all the men that went were about 500, they fought against their enemies, and they destroyed them and subdued them. And Nimrod placed standing officers over them in their respective places. So this is the account of the battles of Nimrod that confirms everything that I have told you by the historical records found in Iraq about the Babylon Empire. He conquered and he placed their officers there. A kind of strategy used by the Roman Empire, right? So, as you can see, nothing new under the sun. And he took some of their children as security, and they were all servants to Nimrod and to his brethren. And Nimrod and all the people that were with him turned homeward. And when Nimrod had joyfully returned from the battle after having conquered his enemies, all his brethren together with those who knew him before assembled to make him king over them. And they placed the regal crown upon his head. And he set over his subjects and people, princes, judges, and rulers, as is the custom amongst the kings. So, the first hierarchy, the pyramid, the human pyramid. In one of these rulers, officers, was the father of Abram, Terah. It says in verse 41 of this chapter, and he placed Terah, the son of Nahor, the prince of his host, and he dignified him and elevated him above all the princes. So as you can see, Abram, the son of Terah, could choose to stay on the pyramid. He was the son of the second in command, and he obeyed God when he heard his voice. Are you a son of the vice president of USA? So when God tells you, get out of there, why do you not obey like Abram did? He could choose to stay in the pyramid. His father was the second in command. Let's go on. And whilst he was reigning according to his heart desire after having conquered all his enemies around, he advised with his counsels to build a city for his palace, and they did it so. And they found a large valley opposite to the east, and they built him in him a large and extensive city. And Nimrod called the name of the city that he built Shinar, for the Lord had vehemently shaken his enemies and destroyed them. And Nimrod dwelt in Shinar, and he reigned securely, and he fought with his enemies, and he subdued them, and he prospered in all his battles, and his kingdom became very great. So, it's confirming again the rise of the Babylonic Empire through the hands of Nimrod, Hammurabi. And then all the nations and tongues heard of his fame, and they gathered themselves to him, and they bowed down to the earth, and they brought him offerings, and he became their lord and king, and they all dwelt with him in the city of Shinar. And Nimrod reigned in the earth over the sons of Noah, and they were all under his power and counsel. And all the earth was one tongue and words of union. But Nimrod did not go or remain in the ways of the Lord, and he was more wicked than all the men there were before him, from the days of the flood until this day. And he made gods of wood and stone, and he bowed down to them, and he rebelled against the Lord, and taught all his servants and the people of the earth his wicked way. And Marduk, his son, was more wicked than his father. So this is a turning point in the history of humanity. This is a turning point very important in the kingdom of Babylon. That's where he forgets completely the teachings of Noah, and he follows the teachings of the fallen ones. He starts building the great tower, the great ziggurat, the Tower of Babel, which means in their own language, the portal of the gods. Only later, in Hebrew, is called Babel, confusion, because God confused the language. But in the original Babylonic language, it's called the portal of gods. So when you had me a while, if I believe that ziggurat was a portal, I do believe it was a portal that should open to blood sacrifice. And you can test this veracity through the rest of history that I will not read here, but the link that I put there, you can check on your own through the chapter number 9 of the same book of Jasher, where you see they built that tower through years and through a lot of sacrifices of human beings, because it became so high and large that people were dying. They were falling from above, and they didn't stop. They didn't cry when someone was dying. But if someone was falling with the bricks, they were crying for the brick. And this starts hungering God. It's become very, very, very weak in the eyes of the Lord. And it came, and you know the rest of the story. Because God knew what was happening in their heart, knew the intentions they were building. It was not because of the height. It was because they want to go through dimensions. They want to go to conquer God. They want to go and kill God and make their gods the gods of heaven. Of course, this was the inspiration, the same inspiration of the same fallen entities that teach all kind of perversion before the flood, all kind of abominations. You can find the proofs of everything this, if this is not enough, in the ancient church fathers' writing. You can see, follow the link here. Clement was the third bishop of the Assembly of Rome, was a disciple of John and Peter, and he left this book where he speaks about all of this. But first I want you to hear this audio that I got this on the YouTube. Please pay very attention for what you are going to hear, because this will be the bridge or what is happening in your own country. Just pay attention, please.
To begin with, the significance of 9-1-1. What you have to understand, and what we're trying to explain, is that when dealing with extra dimensions, or dealing with beings from extra dimensions like Jinn, for example, or in dealing with the Illuminati, or the elite, or people that follow a certain type of esoteric agenda, although me and you communicate through words and letters, they have chosen a different type of language. And this is a cross-boundary type of language. This is a language that goes across the boundaries, understood by all. And this is the language of numbers and shapes. And this is why whenever you do research about these groups, you'll find out that they practice something called sacred numerology and sacred geometry. What does this mean? It means that each number is given a meaning. Each shape is given a meaning. A meaning is communicated whenever a shape is presented or a number is presented by these specific groups. I'm not talking about random people or random groups. We're talking about specific groups that follow this type of agenda. When numbers are used, it signifies a certain type of meaning. When shapes are used, the same is followed. So, in their definition, in the numerological sense, 10 is the Alpha and the Omega, or the God. 11 is a step above God. 101 is a step above God. 911 or 911 is the skipping of God. It is the ultimate challenge. It is going from number 9, which has a specific meaning, to number 11, without going through 10. It's skipping God. So it's no coincidence that this event that we call 911 today took place on 911. It is the ultimate challenge.
I hope that you understand this, because if this doesn't start opening your spiritual eyes, you're in trouble. In the numerology of the Kabbalah, number 10 is the number of God, of the Creator. And on the symbology of the Kabbalah, each number means something. They live in rituals. So what happened in 9-11 is something that it was meant to erase God from the equation. It was a blood sacrifice, a mega blood sacrifice. 9-11, what is missing? Number 10. The number of God. And you know that you don't need to believe this. If these guys believe, it's enough for them to obey their masters. That entities that are dwelling amongst those that call them, like the ones they were dwelling in Babylon. So, what have you seen in 9/11. The mark, the image that marked that day was the fall of the Twin Towers. It is a trauma. It is a mark in the history of America, right? So, what happened? Why they did that on 9/11? What does it mean, the Twin Towers? You know that in the Masonic ritual, in each Masonic lodge, there are two towers that represent the same towers of the Temple of Solomon. They are called Jachin and Boaz. So, in the middle of that columns, you see always the symbol of the Masonic symbol, the two instruments forming a kind of two triangles in the middle of the columns, the compass and the square, which in fact is a disguise to the Solomon seal, as above, so below. So, get ready for the shocker, my brothers and sisters. What does it mean, the names of that column? Jachin means nothing more or less than He, God, Yahweh, will establish. That represents the hope of the human being. God will establish, mean, make stable, shall confirm, stabilize, fix, sit, organize, determine, ordain, accommodate, and will remain. Jachin means Yahweh, or He, God, will establish. It's the hope of the human being. The second column, called Boaz, means that in Him, in God, in Yahweh, is strength. In fact, it represents the faith of the human soul. God's strength to stay doable, vigorous, influential, and abundant portion, virtuous, warm, and powerful. So, on that day, a spell was cast upon all the humans under the law of America and spread in all souls there, that still today is giving the fruits they want. Hope and faith was being stolen to your spirit by the Illuminati elites obeying Satan and his fallen angels to cast you a spell to tell to your spirit your God will be out of this equation. In 9/11, your hope and your faith starts ending. And remember what was said on that tablet. I will paraphrase again to you. Seek not the kingdom of shadows, for evil will surely appear. For only the master of brightness shall conquer the shadow of fear. Brothers and sisters, you don't need to believe me. I brought here two more witnesses for you, that you hear by your own ears, and you do what you want with this information. But the only way to recover your country, to recover the country and the favor of God in America, is to pay attention to the witness that God is providing to you on this hour. I will start by this wonderful man. Please just hear what he is saying. And he is not a converted Christian, but he is using, is being used by our Lord to warn you. So just pay attention. Okay, please confirm me. Can you hear my voice? I need some feedback. Can you hear my voice? Okay, thanks. So I was going to put here an audio that I removed from YouTube. It was George Collins' Illuminati, but you better check yourself on the YouTube the title, George Collins' Illuminati speech. But I was unable to bring this. Let's hope that this one, it's okay for you to hear. I hope so. Let's try.
So this is basically tying into religious political initiatives, and he works closely with the Anglicans, the Knights of Malta, the Knights Templars, the Jesuits, that really are promoting this type of takeover of Israel, in a sense. And it also gets into some other things regarding the ordination of homosexuals as ministers, validating that is okay. Move into that a little bit and how this connects with occultism.
Yes, it is. It only ordinations of homosexuals as ministers, priests, and bishops. And if one looks into the moral values of the Templars, they were not married. They loved little boys. Now, the Temple practiced solipsism, or what an occultist calls sex worship within Satanism. So there is going to be lots of sexual abuse. There's going to be a lot of phallicism, which is very sad. It's an abomination unto God. And the Baphomet is the idol of the Luciferians, and that is their idol. And the crimes of sodomy was a rite of the Templars' initiation, just like it is within the Illuminati. It was in the Catholic Church and within Masonry at the 32nd and the 33rd degree. 33rd degree. Evangelical Christians do not understand these end-time prophecies. Judging from their support for the Antichrist programs with millions of dollars in donations to ministers like Billy Graham, they do not understand that they are bringing in the Antichrist by supporting the ministry of these men. They do not realize this. They don't see it. And the sad thing about it is a lot of these Christians are paying tithes, but it's not going to go for God. It's going to be going for these. This money goes into the pot for the Illuminati. How else can I say it? Their money is funding the New World Order.
This was Cisco Wheeler, the woman that was rescued by another guest that we had here on last week, Fritz Springmeier. She was a bride of Satan. She was taken from the ritual abuse of Satanists. She was a bride of Satan. She has a book called Behind the White Horse. And she is testifying about the fake ministries where you are teach to pay tithing, tribute to this feudalistic religious lords that are being put on their fieldings, as Nimrod put their officers on conquered lands. If this does not open your spiritual eye for the reality of the mystery Babylon. I don't know what can make you get out of Babylon. I don't know what will awake you from that spell that even on these days is spreading fear all around the internet, all around the globe, stealing your faith and hoping God for you to not believe in your praise, in your Savior that has given you the power to demolish the devil's strongholds and plans and schemes. I hope that you really understand the meaning of what you are going to hear also. And if you don't even realize this, watch what they have built in the place of the former Twin Tower. The shape of that building, it is formed by pyramids from above to down and down to above. So just hear this short audio.
This tower may be the most complex and costly building ever constructed on American soil. It will be a place where people will come to work and to remember.
We all saw a lot of things that, you know, we weren't meant to see, should never have to see.
Out of the shadows cast in this city's darkest hour.
We lost much on September 11th. We lost 3,000 people. We lost our offices. We lost Lower Manhattan.
It will rise a symbolic 1,776 feet. On September 11th, 2001, two hijacked planes brought down the Twin Towers of New York's World Trade Center. That night, less than 12 hours after the attacks, the mayor of New York addressed his city.
We're going to rebuild. We're not only going to rebuild, we're going to come out of this stronger than we were before.
Before the debris was even cleared, the debate began. What should the new structure be? A global competition produced some wild ideas. But then a real plan evolved. Unveiled to the public in June 2005, the final design is the vision of architect David Childs.
The building is actually a very simple shape. So you just take this single shaft of crystal, square in its nature, and just slice away those corners slightly. That's the building.
2.6 million square feet of floor space, 104 stories, smooth glass walls hiding 50,000 tons of steel, and 180,000 cubic yards of concrete. A 408-foot steel spire will take its total height to 1,776 feet. But most importantly, it will be built to survive anything. Explosions, any storm, even earthquakes. There's never been a tougher skyscraper, or a skyscraper that's been tougher to build. The Council for Tall Buildings has officially confirmed One World Trade Center's status as the tallest in the Western Hemisphere. Those who built it believe that it is the safest and strongest on Earth. In a city that constantly reinvents itself, where the typical life of a building is little more than 50 years, this tower is unique. Because of the way it was built, and because of what it means, One World Trade Center
is here to stay.
Because of the way it was built, and because what it means, One World Trade Center is here to stay. So if you believe that America will be destroyed, guess what? They will not build this tower to destroy on the next year. Guess who is not going to stay in America? You, my dear brother and follower of Christ, you and your God are out of equation, not America. You are out of that equation if you keep accepting fear and closing your eyes to the truth and promoting and serving mystery Babylon on your town, on your family, on your congregation. You will be out of equation. Not America, not Obama, not the Illuminati. You are being dumbed down with the fear they are promoting all together, because they are all brothers in darkness. They are all under the same control of Nimrod. They are all under the same control of Constantine, that did the same thing that Nimrod did on his empire, the unifications of faith. But guess what? You will only be defeated and erased from that equation if you shut your mouth, if you don't pray, if you don't testify, if you don't require your birthright that Jesus conquered for you already. You have the power to change your own destiny and the destiny of your family, the destiny of whole the globe. And I hope that with this show, I have proved that there is nothing under the sun. Even the Babylonic Pantheon that was made at the image of the human social organization of that time, it's the replica of what the Catholicism absorbed itself centuries later. And all the idolatry and all the saints are the same God's stars of that Babylon system, and are the same entities that rule Egypt, and are the same entities that are ruling the Masons and the Illuminati now, and are the same that are trying to promote fear on American people to forget the faith and the power that the Holy Spirit has already gave to you. It's in your mouth to change the destiny of the world by not serving fear, because the darkness will come if you serve the fear. But the perfect love for God and for our brother cast away all the fear. People that are not confessed Christians are showing more courage than true worshippers that are bound down to the power of money that is funding the new world order, that is providing all the fornications that mystery Babylon is inebriating all humanity. Wake up, people. Mystery Babylon is more than a church. It's more than Rome. Mystery Babylon, it's the love for the money, for the power, that is enslaving all humanity in illusions of great promises of Satan, like he did to Nimrod, like he did to Eve, that is paying all the experience on underground basis with demons for demonizing people to prepare the army of the Antichrist. Stop paying tribute to Satan. Stop paying tribute for those who do not follow the example of Jesus Christ, even if they bright like an angel on the pulpit. Start your militia, spiritual militia today in your house, in your neighborhood. One or two, it's enough to cast 10,000 of the enemy. It's not necessary a place. It's only necessary for you to recover the faith and hope in your Savior, Jesus Yahushua the Christ. Let me try to put again this. Nope. No way. Please, if you can, check on YouTube, George Carlin, Illuminati speech, and you will see the courage of this man, even not having the faith that we have in our Lord. He has more courage than a lot of us. He has more wisdom than a lot of us. You know why? Because he didn't left the roots of all evils, enslave himself, the love of money. You only will be free from mystery Babylon when you destroy the altar, the tower you have built in your life, to Mammon, which means to Mitra, to Maitreya, to Marduk. To Satan. Only when the Americans decide to clean the temple and rebuild the column, the temple of the Holy Spirit, from all the deception, all the manipulation, all the materialistic ways of salvation, only when Christ will be Lord, you will be saved from the destiny that is upon all us if you let your country go down in fear. Brothers and sisters, thank you for joining me. I hope that you enjoyed this program. It was for you. It was for me. For our benefit. And for the glory of Yahushua. May the Lord bless you. And if you like it, please do yourself a favor. Share the light. Speak the light. Speak the truth. And live the truth. God bless you. In Jesus' name. We'll see you around.
Will anyone here tell me why?